Rabbi Vitters first asked me to give over something from Hagoyin, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz at Tzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim in the 1960s. He then asked me to speak today on Shiva Asur B'Tamaz, the beginning of the 3 weeks of national mourning over the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim. In truth, this is one and the same topic. For the 3 weeks and Reb Chaim have a common denominator, and that is Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, interpersonal relationships. The Beis HaMikdash, Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tesem and Beis, was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, the hatred of a fellow Jew for no reason, which the Chofetz Chaim tells us includes the very severe isser of speaking Lashon Hara, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Tzal lived and breathed Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. His essence was a supersensitivity in Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, in words and actions between one Jew and another. And in truth, being sensitive in interpersonal relationships, I think that really the person who should be giving this talk is Rabbi Becher. He was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Zitzal. He heard the Shmuzin live from Reb Chaim that would form the contents of this Sefer, Sichas Musar of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in the years Tav Shin Lamed Aleph to Tav Shin Lamed Gimel. And very often when I've heard Rabbi Becher speak, he mentions the Shmuzin and the Divrei Torah of Reb Chaim. But since I was asked, I will give my small contribution on this giant, this unique gadol. My connection with Reb Chaim Zitzal was only one Elul Zman in the year Tav Shin Chav Tes. This was 1969. 2 years after the conclusion of the Six-Day War. But in that short zman, I came to realize that Reb Chaim was special and unique. And what I mean to say by this is that it was in 1969 was the first time I had seen Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, and most of them reminded me of similar Gedolim in America. We had at that time Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's Zitzal, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Zitzal. The Gedolim were the ones that I had association with were Litvish Gedolim from Lithuanian yeshivas, and they were similar. But there are certain Gedolim that are unique. This doesn't make them, because they're unique, a greater gadol than another gadol, but they have something in them that make them stand out. For example, I'll give you one example, and that is, I had the schus to learn in Telzer Yeshiva from 1961 to 1963, and at that time, the unique gadol that I came into contact with, which I never found any other gadol similar to him, was Rav Mordechai Gifter's itself. When Rav Mordechai Gifter gave what was called, here I saw it was titled, I'm giving a shmuz today, and tells a shmuz has a special name, it's called Shi'ur Das. It's a shir, but instead of a shir in halacha, in Gemara, it's a shir in hashkaf, a shir das. When Rav Gifter's itself would give a shir das, his face would be red like the sun in midday. His words, there's a Yiddish word which he used very often. The Yiddish word is called Arangepregelt. And I never found out exactly what it means, but in the context, it means that it's emblazoned, it's stamped in your heart. You'll never forget it. I remember, this is going back 50 years ago, when Reb Gifter spoke, and you'll soon see why, in what way, that he's unique. You wouldn't find other Gedolim in this manner. But he spoke about, it was Chanukah time, he spoke about Zeidim Biyad Oiske Sarasecha, those who are zaydim, those who desecrate things with premeditated desecration. Zaydim, Hashem gave over the Yevonim in the hands of Oiske Sarasecha. So he went ahead to explain what is Zaydim and what is Oiske Sarasecha. And his marshal of Zaydim was someone, we didn't find him in the Gemara, Abaye V'Rava. He was called John Kenneth Galbraith. John Kenneth Galbraith, the Rav Gifter said, he was the Times Man of the Year. He was an ambassador to India. And he was the one that was Mechadesh in his greatness of having co-ed dormitories in Harvard. And that's what Rav Gifter spoke about. He's an example of Zaydim. So Rav Gifter, that shmooze. Then he went ahead to explain the other side. What does it mean for a person to be an Oisik Batayra when he treats Torah like a business? And he gave a marshal of a businessman in Mexico. But those words that he said at that time were emblazoned. It was a Rangi pregled in my heart that I should remember it vividly 50 years later. That dynamic presentation that Rav Gifter in every drusha, in every shir das, every shir halacha, whatever he gave, it was with such fiery intensity that it remained emblazoned and engraved in your heart. So that was a unique American guttural that in his special way, you couldn't find it elsewhere amongst other great gedolim. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, the Gadol, who in my mind was also something unique and different, this was Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Tzal. Reb Chaim reminded me of what the Rambam says when he describes a Melech B'Yisrael. A Melech B'Yisrael, the Rambam says, Liboy Lev Ha'am, the heart of the Jewish king, of the Melech B'Yisrael, his heart encompasses the entire Jewish nation. And so it was with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. His heart was so large that it could encompass every Jew, of every kind of Jew. So my first Yom Kippur in the Mir Yeshiva, and they daven Kol Nidre, and after Kol Nidre, I saw this is not what I'm used to. It was different. I was used to tells in Cleveland, where Reb Gifter davened, the walls were shaking. I went later to Ner Yisrael. Ner Yisrael also a very spirited davening, and Mir was different. It was. I was already thinking that maybe tomorrow I'm going to go to daven by the Kosel. We were zoiche. It was 2 years after the Kosel was now in Jewish hands, so. We'll go, that will be an aliyah. But then Reb Chaim got up and he gave a Kol Nidre drasha. And I was thinking, as Reb Chaim got up for the Kol Nidre drasha, I was thinking, what would he speak about? And the usual topics come to mind. He would speak about Torah, about Tefillah, about, of course, Tshuva. Reb Chaim spoke none of the above. He said, he got up and he said, Ich bin geven heint by the Mama Rochel. And that's what he called Kever Rochel, the Mother Rochel. I was today by the Mother Rochel. Reb Chaim spoke about Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. He said, I went to the Mama Rochel and I was mispalel, I davened for a chayal. He didn't say whether the chayal was religious or he wasn't religious. It was a Jewish boy. And this boy, unfortunately, had a bullet that was in his brain. And his mother, he was paralyzed, and his mother had to come to feed him. And Reb Chaim made mention of a pasuk in the Navi Yirmiyah. The Navi says, Koil Barama Nishma, famous pasuk, a voice is heard on high. Rochel Mevako Al Bonel. Rachel Imenu is crying over her children. She refuses to be comforted over her children who are going into Golis. Koyomar Hashem, Hashem says, Meni koylech mibechi, he says to Rachel Imenu, prevent, refrain your eyes from crying, your voice from crying, ve'enayich, and your eyes midima, from tears. Stop crying. Stop the tears. And then Reb Chaim got up. The Navi Yirmiyah says, Mini koylech mibechi. Unich zok. I, Reb Chaim, are saying, when you hear such a story of this chayal with a bullet in his brain, unich zok, mamivein. And I say, mother cry. This is what Reb Chaim spoke about, called Nidre. He didn't speak about Torah. He didn't speak about tefillah. He didn't speak about tshuva, the regular topics that everyone speaks about. Reb Chaim was unique. Reb Chaim was different. As we're going to see, that your Erev Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is a time to think about Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, to think about man and man. And that's what Reb Chaim, Erev Yom Kippur, what does Reb Chaim think about? He has to go to the Mama Rachel, to Rachel Imenu, and he has to daven there for this chayal with the bullet in his brain. That was Reb Chaim on that Yom Kippur. Fast forward, 35 years later, I visited my son. He was learning Kosh Mishpat in Eretz Yisrael. And once again, I went back to the Mir Yeshiva, the same yeshiva. It was Yom Kippur. And first, unbelievable thing happened. The Mashgiach there, he should be Marach Yom Vishonim, Rabbi Aaron Choda Shlita. Someone mentioned that I was a father-in-law of someone. And he said, oh yes, he came from Ner Yisrael, from Baltimore, 35 years ago. He has thousands and thousands of Talmidim in those 35 years that have gone through Mir. He remembered that 35 years previous, I was there for one Eld's month. He remembered, oh yes, he came from Baltimore. So Stam shows the concern and the love that Mir Yeshiva is famous for its Talmidim, even someone who was just there for a few weeks. But this time, the Rosh Yeshiva was a different Rosh Yeshiva. It was Hagoyin Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkelzitzel. But again, it was Reb Chaim that spoke, because Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel gave over 35 years later. What do you speak about in the Mir Yeshiva on Yom Kippur? Again, you speak about Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. So he gave over from this Sefer, the Sichas Musar of Reb Chaim, he gave over about Ben Adam L'Chaveroi what Reb Chaim had said. And Reb Chaim, this is a famous thought of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said that Ben Adam L'Chaveroi is a fire. It's Hashem implanted in interpersonal relationships that it's to be considered like a fire. Just like fire burns, if chas v'shalom, but you hurt another person inadvertently, it's a fire that burns. And he brought a Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. And this is what Reb Nosson Tzvi said on that Yom Kippur 35 years later. Rav Rechumi, his name, by the way, was Rechumi, this great tzaddik. His name was Rechumi, Rachum, he had mercy. That was his essence. Havarogol davi osi lebeise kol mali yom adikipuri. He used to come home every Erev Yom Kippur. In those days, the wives allowed their husbands to learn, like we all know about Rabbi Akiva. He left for 12 years and left another 12 years. They used to leave for 6 months, for a year. His deal with his wife was, I'd come home one day a year, and that would be Erev Yom Kippur. And Reb Chaim says, I just want to point out, it was Erev Yom Kippur. Why was it Erev Yom Kippur? Because Erev Yom Kippur is the day when you have to come home and make sure that there's no issue ben adam lechaveroi with your wife, with anybody else. That's the day he's coming home. And now years went by, every Erev in Kippur he would come home. Yoim Echada, one day, Mishkasei Shmaitzei. He got involved in a Gemara. And it's getting later and later, and he's involved in the Gemara, and he forgets to go home. That's how involved he is. This great Rechumi with the Rachmanis, an Erev Yom Kippur where he bedafka would go home to make sure that he has a good relationship with his wife, he forgot. Havi Maschei Devisi, his wife is waiting. And she's saying to herself as the sun is sinking, Hashto Osi, Hashto Osi. He's coming, I'm sure he's coming. Lo Yasa, he didn't come. Cholish Daito, she had Chalisha Sadas, she felt bad. Ochis Dimisa Me'ene, a tear fell down her cheek from her eyes. Havi Yosef Be'igra, he was miles away, wherever his yeshiva was, he was sitting on a veranda. Ifches Igra, the veranda collapsed, mituse from under him, v'noch nafshe, and Rabbi Chume was nifter. Says Rabbi Chaim, that we see from this Gemara, that Ben Adam Chaveira is not a punishment, if you get for it, it's fire, because who is going to suffer here? For the rest of her life, his wife is going to suffer. The one who was worried that her husband's not coming home, Erev Yom Kippur, there would never be an Erev Yom Kippur that her husband would ever come home again. So she, it comes out, she's the one who's getting punished. Says, but you see, this is the Yisoid of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim's Yisoid is that Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, what we're now supposed to be Isaac in the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av, till the destruction of the Churban, which was because of Sin Eschidim, these 3 weeks are weeks of introspection. How are we doing Bein Adam L'Chaveroi? Because Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, just like a person puts his hand into fire, he says, oh, I didn't mean it. It was unintentional. The fire will still burn. That's how Reb Chaim understands Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. Fire burns whether it's intentional or unintentional. And that's why this terrible punishment, this terrible gzeira happened that Rabbi Chumi was nifter. And so learns Reb Chaim, a famous Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, a story, a famous story of three people, Rav Kahana and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And Rav Kahana had a punishment. He was chayiv misa, the Gemara says, for a certain thing. And his Rebbe said, if you go to Rabbi Yochanan and you won't ask any questions to Rabbi Yochanan, that will be considered equal. That's how his Rebbe was able to estimate, not Rav Kahana not being able to ask a question, halacha is equal, tantamount to him. This is like a kapor for him dying. He went to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish knew about the famous great Gadol Rav Kahana, who's coming from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he said to Rabbi Yochanan, Ari Olam Bavel, a lion is coming up from Bavel. Okay, a lion, so they used to have seven rows, and the greatest Talmid Chachamim would sit in the front row, and the weakest would sit in the back row. So they heard a lion's coming up from Bavel, they put him right away into the front row. The first day goes by, he doesn't ask any questions. They were there with total truth. If you were, you could be a 13-year-old bar mitzvah bacher, if you were a giant in Torah, you were in the front. If you were a 70-year-old man who was weak in Torah, you were in the back. The first day goes by, no questions, to the second row. You don't belong in the first row. The second day went by, no questions, back to the third row. And after a while, after the seventh day, he's all the way in the back, and Rav Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, Ari Nasa Shul, did the lion become a fox? So Rav Kahana felt that the 7 days of not asking questions and being the embarrassment of going from the front row all the way to the back, that is tantamount to the misa that he was chayav, and now he's allowed to begin asking questions. The eighth day, he started asking, okay, back to row six. The next day he asked, back to row five, till he was in the front. He keeps on asking questions. Now what do we do now? So Rabbi Yochanan was on top of seven pillows. So each day that Rav Kahana would ask questions, Rabbi Yochanan would take one pillow and put it on the floor. He's only sitting now on six pillows, then on five pillows. And then finally, Rabbi Yochanan is on the floor, and the seven pillows are under Rav Kahana. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan, the elderly Rosh Hashiva, when he faces the truth that Rav Kahana is a bigger Talmud Chacham than him, I'm the Talmud now, and you're the Rosh Hashiva, because they worked with total truth there. Okay, so the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan had eyebrows that were very thick, and normally he couldn't see anything because the eyebrows covered his eyes. It says, "V'hoyu einecha rois es morecha." You have to see who's your teacher. So he asked the student to lift up his eyebrows that he could see Rav Kahana. He had never seen him before. So when he looked up, he saw Rav Kahana laughing. And really, Rav Kahana was not laughing. Rav Kahana was born with a split lip that he always looked as if he was smiling, and he wasn't really smiling. But Rav Yochanan had a chalishas hadas. He felt terrible. Rav Kahana, in other words, the way Rav Yochanan understood it, I became now Rosh Hashiva, and I'm mocking you that you're sitting on the floor. So it says he looked at him, and they had a power. Of course, these are stories that are beyond our comprehension, but we just say the details, what it says in the Gemara. He looked at Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana died. Later, when they told Rabbi Yochanan that Rav Kahana didn't do anything wrong, that's the way he was born, which Rabbi Yochanan didn't know. It says he went to the kever, and there was a nochesh around it, and when Rabbi Yochanan said, let a Talmud come to the Rav, only then would he said, let a Rebbe come, it didn't uncoil, let a Chaver come, didn't uncoil, let a Talmud come to the Rebbe, it uncoiled, and he went, and he was Mechayim Mason. They had the power of Tchiyas HaMesim. It's a fascinating Gemara. The point that Reb Chaim brings out over here, in Tov Shin Lamed Beis, on Amud Vav here in the Sefer, is that what did Rav Kahana do wrong? He had a split. He was born like that. But what happened? He was the source of anguish. He was the source of causing a hurt. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro to Rabbi Yochanan. That's fire. You put your hand in fire and it burns. And that's why there was Misa over here. And Rav Chaim goes a step further. This is in Tav Shin Lamed Aleph. Amud Pei Aleph. Even when a person means it l'shem shemayim, you want to hurt someone because of a mitzvah, even then it's a fire. And this is the story we find in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, of Chana and Penina. Both were tzedkanias. Penina was also a tzedekah, says Reb Chaim. And the Gemara tells us that she was nischavin l'shem shemayim. We know that she had 10 children and Chana had no children. And Penina said, it must be that she's not davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu hard enough. I'm going to make her daven to Hashem. Says the Pasuk, V'chiasato tzoroso gam kas ba'avur her ima. As the Meforshim explain, that Metzudas David says over here, that she gam kas v'choizeres. She would do it over and over and over again to pain her. She would say to her, the Medrash tells us, Chana, come, let's buy a new coat. It's the winter. Our children need new coats. Oh, I forgot, you don't have a child. And she would hurt her. Over and over again, bavur harimo, in order to agitate her. Kisogar Hashem Badrachma. And the Navi gives you the reason. She bothered her because she was an Akora, and she felt that if she would daven hard enough, she would get a child. And she was right. She davened hard enough, and she got the great Shmuel HaNavi. But what happened to Penina, the Tzadekes? We find in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, in the Tfilah of Chana, where Chana says, Ad Akora Yolda Shiva, the Akora I, Chana, had seven children. Verabbas bought him, the one who had a lot of children. Penina Umlola, she was devastated. She lost all 10 children. Now Rashi right away brings Chazal. What do you mean that Chana had seven children? We find that Chana only had five children. It says, Vatar Vatelet Shloisha Bonim Ushtei Bonos, three sons and two daughters. That's five. So Rashi explains from Chazal, Kishechana Yoledes Echad Penina Kaivera Shnayim. Every time Chana had one child, Penina lost two. Vasora Bonim Hoyolo. Shenemar, because when Chana asked her husband Elkanah, make sure I have a child, Elkanah responded to Chana, Haloi Anoichi Toiv Lach Miasar Banim. I'm closer to you than I am to Penina, so you have me instead of 10 children. So we see that Penina had 10 children. So Kishiyolda Chana Arbo Kavra Penina Shmaina. When Chana had her first child, she lost two. When she had her fourth child, Penina lost eight. And then, Ukishinis Abra v'yold devlat chamishi, when she had her fifth child, so she knew that, Penina knew that she's going to lose her last two children. Nishtatcha Penina l'ragla. She fell down to the feet of Chana, ubiksha rachamim, and she asked mercy, v'choyu, v'nikro al shimo. This is the opinion of Rav Nechemia. So it works out. She had Chana seven children, because even the last two of Penina would not have been alive unless Chana davened for them. And therefore, they're considered Chana's children, and Penina has as if she has no children. So that's what she said. Adakora yolda shiva v'rabbas bonim umlala. Such a terrible punishment. To who? To Penina, says Reb Chaim. She was mischavel l'shem shemaim, the Gemara tells us. But it doesn't matter, says Reb Chaim. You're dealing with fire. Bein Adam l'chaver is a fire. And so Bamas learns the Gra in Parsha Shoif Mishpatim. Call Almana v'yosim loisanin. Don't persecute a yosim and an Almana. Im ane tanoi soy. Ki im tsoik yitzek alai. Shmoya eshma tzakosoi. V'chora api v'rakti eschem. V'chere v'hoyu nishaychem almanois. Ubnechem yisoymim. So what is the word here? Ki im. Says the Gra. If you will persecute a yosim and Almana, and your whole purpose will be just like Penina with Chana. Ki im tzoik yitzek alai. Your whole purpose is that Penina wanted to provoke Chana that she should daven to Hashem so that she would be zoicha to Shmuel Anavi. So what could be better than that? No. But you hurt someone. You did it l'shem shemaim, and the best thing came out. Shmuel Anavi came out, but it's a bein adam l'chaveroi, and Reb Chaim learns that a bein adam l'chaver is a fire, which Hashem implanted in fire the teva to burn, although you don't want it to burn. The same with bein adam l'chaver, it burns although you don't want. We will end off with another final thought of Reb Chaim. This is in the Tov Shin Lamed Gimel Amud Sadik Beis in the Sefer, if you want to look it up. Every Erev Yom Kippur, we heard already, Reb Chaim went to Kever Rachel. He also went to Yad Avshalom. And people asked him, why is he going? Avshalom was the son of David who rebelled against his father. And he wanted to kill his father. What is Reb Chaim going every Erev Yom Kippur to the Matseva in Yerushalayim called Yad Avshalom? What is he doing there? And the answer is found here in the Sefer, because it's based on a Gemara in Soita Daf Yud Amid Beis. When David heard that Avshalom was Nifter, his arch enemy who wanted to kill him, Vayirgas HaMelech, and the king got agitated, Vayal al Aliyas Hashari, went up on top of the gate. Vayef, and he cried. Vekoy Omar Belechdoi. And this is what David said as he was walking. Eight times he said his son, referring to his son. Bini Avshalom, that's two. Bini Avshalom, that's already five. Miyitein Moisi Ani Tachtech, I wish that I would die instead of you. Avshalom, bini, another three times, a total of eight. And the Gemara in Saita asks, Hani Tamya B'ni Lama, why is he referring 8 times to his son Avshalom? And the Gemara answers, Shiva Da'askei Mishiva Madure Gehenim. Because 7th, his son was destined to be in the 7th rung of heaven, of Gehenim, all the way down. There are 7 levels in Gehenim. He's on the bottom one. He wanted to kill his father. But David, with every time he said, B'ni, Avshalom, B'ni, he raised his son another level, up, up. And the 8th time, what's the 8th time? V'idach, the Aisi La'alma Da'asi, he brought his son into Olam Haba. Says Rav Chaim, that we say, every Yom Kippur we say, Rachameinu, have mercy on us, Hashem. Kirachem av al bonim, like a father has mercy for his child. How far does the mercy of a father go for a child? Says Rav Chaim, it goes like David to Avshalom, his son who wanted to kill him, who was on the 7th level, Madure Gehenim. But to him, to David, he's still B'ni. He's B'ni Avshalom. And David raises him through all the 7 levels of Gehenim up till Olam Haba, up till Gan Eden. That's what we say to Hashem. As much as we have rebelled against you. And that's why Reb Chaim went every Erev Yom Kippur B'davka to Yad Avshalom to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as much as we during the year have rebelled against you, as much as we have been over Ben Adam L'Chaveiroi, that we haven't been sensitive one person to the other as we should be, as many times as we put our hands into the fire, as Reb Chaim has proven, of Ben Adam L'Chaveiroi, but Rachameinu K'rachim Aval Bonim, have mercy on us, like David had on his son Avshalom. We should be zoicha that during the 3 weeks, and by Reb Chaim, it wasn't just the 3 weeks, it wasn't only Erev Yom Kippur, it wasn't Yom Kippur, it was the entire year, a super sensitivity. And that's what, as I explained, made him to me unique. The uniqueness of Reb Chaim was Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi. And through our being misakin ourselves in Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi, we'll be zoicha, and Klal Yisrael in these very difficult times will be zoicha to the bracha of Rachameinu K'rachem Av Albonim.